Hello and welcome to Podcast of the Lotus Eaters, episode 1208, on this the 15th of July, and it's a Tuesday. I'm joined by Luca Johnson, special guest Josh Firm.
Hello.
Josh, do you have a YouTube channel? And if so, what's it called?
It's a very complicated name. It's Josh Firm.
Is there a story behind that?
Well, I thought long and hard about it, and then I realised that maybe, considering everyone knows me by my own name, yes, maybe it's a good idea to call my channel by my own name.
Very clever, very clever, very good. Right, so on today's episode, we're going to be talking about, apparently there's been a spot of rioting in Spain.
A few good days of it.
Yeah, all good.
They've really had some time to get some top rioting in.
Excellent, well done. And you're going to talk about journalistic integrity.
I am indeed. I've got a little game for everyone to play, both
all
the
good
panel and the
do
audience,
like a game.
And it should be a bit of fun, despite the fact that we're talking about crime.
Yes, and I want to talk about Elmo's character arc, which has got interesting. So, with that, well, I haven't heard about this. What's going on in Spain?
Right, well, okay, so this all stems from events that happened last week. Right, so on Wednesday, I'll just begin by saying that I actually didn't intend to cover Spain again so soon. I only covered Spain again last week, where the Vox party, the far-right party in Spain, by which they mean patriots, of course, are calling for remigration and are probably the most... It's probably the most hardline immigration policy I've actually seen out of any of the European parties. It seems to go further than what even the AFD are proposing. And when you see stories like the one that I'm about to talk about today, it's easy to see why. It's easy to see why. Because this is what kicked it all off, right? So this is from a Spanish paper. You can tell because it's called El Español.
Wow. And you speak Spanish, Luca?
Yes. All two words of it. So this gentleman's name, Domingo, he got up 5:30 in the morning on the Wednesday and went to go for his 4K walk, as he's done for years and years now. And it says, "I've been doing the same routine for 6 years and nothing had ever happened to me," says Domingo Tomás Martínez, a former employee of a citrus company in the town. And he then goes on to say, "When I went for a walk, I had to my watch and house keys on me, and that young man didn't even take my watch. He only hit me to hurt me." And he went on to say that he hit me for fun. And he says that I was walking through the town early in the morning in the vicinity of the cemetery and the bus station when I observed three individuals, possibly Moroccan. One of them was on the phone, another was not doing anything, and the third went towards me and without just cause began to hit me in the face. So totally unprovoked migrant attack on this poor Spanish pensioner.
So I've seen the pictures and videos of him going around. That's after a little bit of time has passed by the looks of it, and he's
partially healed.
Yes. Nasty. Sorry, I should have given a warning for that one. It's really, really awful. It's really, really ugly. But the thing is as well with this story, that's what's been particularly hard to wade through is the amount of slop and fakeness. And I've had to determine, you know, which riots are from this particular town and even which photos of that man are the genuine ones. Because that chap who was beat up, he had to come out and say, there's all these photos coming out online of this person who is also, you know, obviously bruised and battered. That's not me. Right, so he's already going through enough without people spreading false rumours and trying to create engagement slop.
It's people making money off of the suffering of Europeans is what's going on, and I really disapprove of this. Like, people don't hate on these people that are just out to make money from politics enough, because all they're doing is impeding actual legitimate political action that can tangibly make things better.
Yes.
To make money themselves whilst making people angry at things that aren't true.
I suppose it's also possible the impedance is the point.
At least it may well be, yeah.
Yes.
It may indeed. But obviously with this, so what you had then is you had a community come together for unity, for solidarity, for the good of diversity.
Protecting one's elderly, by
yes. Led by the Conservative from the People's Party. mayor of the town. And it very much smacked of how whenever something goes wrong in this country, you immediately get hit with the, oh, we all need to come together, don't look back in anger, right? You can see that same messaging being trotted out by the Spanish state, as you, of course, do here in Britain as well. But obviously the thing with that is that, well, you can have that protest, but that doesn't diffuse the actual tensions and the heat that are being felt by many within the community.
People also expect the state to say that. They most people presume of their government, whether they're even politically minded or not, that they're just interested in keeping the peace for its own sake because it makes their lives easier.
Right. You know what the response is going to be at this point. You know, it's nigh on like clockwork. And so you get examples like this, where the bishop condemns the anti-migrant violence in Mercia. And he goes on...
Did he also condemn the attack itself or just the response to it?
Mostly the response.
Right.
Mostly the response. And he goes on... It says that local media describes the instance as a manhunt and highlighting the targeted nature of the violence against migrants from the Maghreb, so the North African region.
And there's a history there, by the way, if you're
yeah.
not,
yes, it's
not
a
too familiar.
It's a very Spanish story of struggle, isn't it, against that region. And the clashes followed an assault last Wednesday on the local pensioner, as I've detailed. And in response, some 2,000 people gathered on Friday evening for a peaceful rally. However, the demonstration was soon hijacked by far-right elements, including members of the Vox Party. And you can see, again, that insistence on linking the violence with the insurgent political party, exactly how they used to back after we had Southport, and they tried to call them the Farage riots.
I mean, there is a bit of a process that gets run on this. You've already talked about the first element, which is, you know, in a position of authority comes out and says, oh, we've all got to unify and stand together and stuff like that. But the other thing I've noticed, because, you know, obviously this has happened quite a number of times now, and interesting, the last sort of 15 years or so, it's been happening in the social media age where everyone's got a phone on their camera. And the amount of times you notice, not just for stuff like this, but all sorts of different protests, the violence doesn't begin until the police appear. And then conveniently at that moment, somebody possibly wearing police boots and then some sort of jacket instigates violence from the crowd, and that gives the police the opportunity to rush in. And I've seen that so many times, I'm starting to think that maybe there might be something a little bit suspicious going on with some of this stuff.
I suspect you're right.
I've seen videos from Southport of just one person starts everything off and then it brings the whole crowd in.
Yeah.
Indeed. And it says that, however, the demonstration was soon hijacked by people, including members of the Vox Party, who began chanting anti-migrant slogans. Now, I would hazard a guess that perhaps that anti-migrant sentiment might have found its cause in the fact that a member, elder member of the community had just been beaten up by a few migrants.
That could be a factor, yes, right. I would look at that.
I think there might be a correlation between, and even causation, if I were to dare to venture, between getting beat up by migrants and anti-migrant sentiment within the town. Obviously, a sheer coincidence to them. You know, they obviously don't think that should be happening at all.
But to admit that, of course, is to suggest that there is good reason to hate migrants. And the media sphere and the political class more generally are bending over backwards not to admit this, right? They're doing everything they can, because if they say, okay, you've got legitimate concerns, then they can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, and with this example as well, it says that nearly one-third of Torre Pacheco, the municipality of Murcia where this is set, is one-third of them are of foreign origin, right? So one-third are foreign. So you can see why that would build up more tension as well.
Actually, because it's spent a lot of time in that part of Spain as well.
Oh, really?
Lovely part of Spain, yeah.
Yeah, it seemed to be, from what I saw of the photographs.
Well, back when I used to go there more regularly, this was many years ago, it was very Spanish, with English being the second most minority. I imagine that's probably changed since.
And something tells me that the English might not be the most loathed minority there anymore.
I don't think we're the ones going around beating up random Spaniards.
No.
Only on football nights.
Yeah. Depends how much lager we've had.
But yeah, he went on, he praised the people of Torre Pacheco for their long-standing spirit of solidarity and hospitality, particularly in providing employment and fostering integration. So the sort of things that you heard all before. But this, all this talk of hospitality reminded me of something that the Stelios tweeted out not long ago when he was talking about ancient Greek, the Iliad and the Odyssey are among the fundamental texts of the Western canon. Notice how Goebbels tried to distort them by always stressing the fact that hospitality was mandated by the gods, whilst omitting the fact that in the Odyssey it is also about punishing those who abuse it. Right? And this is what we see time and time again, the abuse of that hospitality, of that goodwill, that frankly, you know, if left to their own devices and if they had the power, we obviously know the people of Europe, generally speaking, would not want these foreign people in the continent at all, right?
A good moral standard to judge it by is if you invited someone in your home and they did that same exact behavior, would you be annoyed at them?
Yes.
If so, then it's fair to get rid of them from the country.
Indeed. So I was having a look on X and through various newspaper articles. And again, it was very, very hard to find actual images that I could guarantee were from this town and not from Indonesia 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Or just wherever the hell it
was. I
hope
they look a little bit different.
Well, you would hope, but obviously they'll zoom in just to a wall, so you've got no way of knowing. But yeah, so there was 3 days of violence. Of course, the police got sent in. I'll just play this clip. In the background of people running. So of course, then what happens is once people have formed into their ethnic groups, then they all start fighting with one another. Stones are getting thrown, bottles, smashed bottles are getting thrown. And as you can probably guess, the police... the police shouts in Spanish.
There's just a British tourist nearby drinking all those bottles of beer. Passing them off.
Literally sipping them from the floor.
We're like an artillery.
So, as you can see, it all got really, really rowdy. And this went on for several nights. It's been several nights of this now.
This is, I imagine, a small Spanish town, right? It's not like a major...
Population 42,000.
Okay, so it's moderately...
With a third being foreign.
Okay. Oh, that's
right.
Massive, yeah.
So all of a sudden that changes things quite a lot. And if I go to here, then... Now, this is not in... Murcia. This is actually near Barcelona. This is in Piera. But incidentally or not, at the same time that this happened, a mosque was set ablaze.
Oh no.
What a terrible accident. That's awful that that accident has happened and lovely carpet is gone.
Well, what's even more remarkable about this mosque as well is it was newly constructed and was due to be opened in just a few days. So it hadn't
it's an
even
interesting time for that to catch fire.
Hadn't even been used yet.
Oh dear. And all these European governments, they're so keen to see so many mosques built.
Yes.
We need
these religious temples to replace all the churches that have been catching fire.
Well, that is true, yes. Yes.
You know, with a new build property, sometimes the electrics aren't quite right, sometimes it can cause a fire. Sometimes.
As you can see, the damage is total.
The new mosque that the municipality...
I'll just... but obviously no one has been brought forward for this. No one seems to know who it was. And also the chap who beat up the pensioner is still at large as well. The two people who filmed and stood by, the other Moroccans, they've been arrested. They're about 20 and 22 years old. But the man who actually assaulted him is still on the loose out there in the city as well.
Imagine if he's got any sense, he'll be keeping his head down.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
Well, he doesn't have any sense. He's going around beating up old people.
Well, the thing is, he's going to need to queue up for his benefits before long, so he can't stay hidden forever.
Aye. So six Spanish nationals and one North African were detained after all these assaults. And it also went on to say that, as I said, the two perpetrators were also arrested. 75 police officers were brought in, as well as the civil guard, to get on top of the violence.
They probably saw what happened over here last summer, and they thought, okay, we need to get on this and shut it down as quickly as possible. And I think that if there is any violence on the streets, there's going to be a very strong response from European powers just to try and nip it in the bud.
Well, they shut down the reaction very quickly. European governments are good at that. They're not so good at shutting down the underlying problem.
No, and I think the more they shut these sorts of things down, the more it's going to cause disorder down the line.
Keep the lid on the pressure cooker. That's what they're trying to do.
But it's becoming, I don't know about you, but it feels like these sorts of incidents are becoming more and more regular now. I don't just mean the migrant attacks, of course. They happen every single day. But I mean those small explosions of energy.
I think it's inevitable, isn't it? It's we saw this coming from a long way off. Even back in 2020 when Lotus Eaters first started, we were talking about this stuff causing problems down the line, and lo and behold, here it is. It's not something that is unprecedented or impossible to predict. It is obvious that this is going to happen if you look at it with...
Well, and we've been consistently attacked for it by people who think that by speaking a thing, you magic it into existence. It's like, no, this was always inevitable.
Yeah, mass deportations are the peaceful option, aren't they? And I think that actually getting people on board with that is the way that everything gets resolved civilly and, you know, in a good way.
Well, at the last municipal elections for this region, Vox got 19% of the vote. So it'll be interesting to see how well they fare after all of this has gone on as well. You keep seeing this, and obviously, as you point out, they're not addressing the underlying issues.
No.
In fact, they continue to exacerbate them all the time. And a perfect example is the reaction here with just Torre Pacheco must return to normality. I understand the frustration, but nothing justifies violence, and that we promise that they will go. Crimes will not go unpunished. And so it's just this constant thing, but the reason that people are rioting is because they've lost faith in the institutions to actually provide justice for crimes such as these. They know the number of times that things like get swept under the rug, or the politically correct argument just gets trotted out, and people aren't willing to go along with it now because you're asking them to betray their lying eyes.
Well, and even if, this guy does get caught and punished, and, maybe he will, they're just bringing another 10 people from wherever he's from.
Well, exactly that. And so, obviously, then you get down to the question of, well, won't someone think of the Muslims?
Yes, that's always the other part
of this.
Yes.
I also saw lots of people around the time there's been some good sort of memeing going on, and they've been digging up articles about people saying, like, the biggest victims of the 7/7 attacks in London are Britain's Muslims. It's like Hillary Clinton saying the biggest victims of war are women. It's like, oh yeah, okay. If you say so. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So this article is just them obviously raging that a mosque has been burnt down and calling for saying that it's leading to the fracturing of social cohesion.
It's already fractured.
And these, you're right, it's already gone. And that these acts aim to damage the spirit of understanding that has long defined Piera. So the Muslims are going to tell you what the spirit of Piera is.
Okay, yeah, that's going to go down well.
Yeah. And obviously, in the interests of integration, common understanding, let's see, just for the sake of argument, where this particular publication's priorities might lie on all sorts of things. Well, they care very much, obviously, about the mosque attack. They're very, very concerned about Vox's anti-hijab campaign. They're also worried about Islamophobic comments from a Spanish mayor. They also seem to celebrate the fact that Spanish women are embracing Islam when they go to Morocco. So they don't really seem to care too much about the integrity.
What does that mean? Does that just mean that they wear a headscarf so they don't get assaulted?
Well, supposedly someone went over to Morocco to convert to Islam, according to the byline anyway.
Which is worth its own entire article and celebration.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily specify from the information there whether it was a Middle Eastern origin person or not, that was just rediscovering that the faith of their ethnicity.
But the fact of the matter is, these people are not Spanish citizens. They're not loyal. Yeah, they don't see their heritage in the Reconquista. Well, they do, but from the other from the other end of it, I suppose.
Yeah, the away team.
Yes. Yes. And so it's one of those things that Spain, as I highlighted in my previous segment that you were there for, Josh, the Spanish authorities, the current socialist party, is wildly unpopular, absolutely crippled by corruption. And it seems like with more and more events like this happening, Vox are only going, the stronger that they are on all of these issues, the more likely people are to turn to them. And ultimately, if the Conservative Party of Spain, the People's Party, betrays voters on this too, which they will, because of the centre-right party in Europe, and that's what centre-right parties in Europe do, as we know so well, then ultimately they will go to that party that is offering the ultimate solution, which is re-migration. I phrased that terribly.
That was... It could have been slightly worse.
Save that energy for the Elmo segment.
the peaceful solution, which is re-migration.
Yep.
All right, I'll just read through some of the Rumble rants. We've got the Engaged Few saying, looks to me like the Spaniards are learning a simple fact. Whether or not violence is the answer depends largely on the question. Well, it's more the fact that they don't obviously trust the judicial system to address their concerns. He also says... Oh, it's all three from him. If they're going to burn mosques, Americans need to go over there. And I'm not reading that. Thanks, Engaged.
I don't even understand it. Could somebody explain it to me after the podcast?
Yes, if I can understand it too in that time.
I understand what it's saying, but we can't read it out because
we're in trouble. Yes. Engage, stop Fed posting, all right? This is your first and last one.
But also thank you.
And also thank you for the money.
And the, not going to me, I don't work anymore.
This story gives me mental images of angry Spaniards chasing down... Yes, yes it does. All right then. Right, come on then, Josh. Tell us how to...
Okay.
How to spot some...
So on my return, I've decided to play a little game, both... with the audience and the panel. You guys, obviously, you read the news regularly, so wait until I ask you to give me an answer. But that's just to give the people at home their time. And that game is looking at the euphemisms that journalists use in headlines to conceal important information about the ethnic, religious, or nationality of a criminal. And I think that this is going on all the more, and they're going to try it more and more. And so understanding how it works and being able to second guess what they're trying to put forward and what they're trying to hide.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Because the whole point of journalism is to tell you what happened, and yet we just all accept these days that the entire point of journalism is to conceal what happened.
Yes.
And on that note, to save the commenters on YouTube saying, how do you know a journalist has told a lie? They start speaking. I've just said it, so you don't have to. It's still going to make the top comment now, just to spite me. I know what you're like, all right? It will make me laugh when I see it, though. But anyway... usually there's a word in the headline that's used as a proxy for something else. And we're going to look at some of those examples and translate it from journalist into normal human. Also, there are details of the crime itself that tend to reveal details about the perpetrator. And the aim of the game is to correctly guess the relevant details of the perpetrator before I reveal it. So yes, please do play along. Hopefully it'll help you teach how to crack the code. That's the purpose of me doing this, is that you can read these articles and know, okay, I know what kind of person did this now, without the journalist necessarily having to reveal it, because you can't necessarily always trust them. But please don't get too carried away with speculation, because sometimes it's not that helpful. However, there are circumstances where it is useful, and I'm going to use a real-world example. So... have a look at the Nashville shooter in the US, Audrey Hale. And people at the time were able to detect their motivations, that it might well have been radical left-wing ideology. This was, there were lots of things that suggested that, the main one of which being that they were a biological woman that had been going through hormone therapy or something along those lines to become male. And they suggested that maybe there's some sort of ideological bend to this because of that fact. And lo and behold, they were right. And the manifesto contained evidence that it was very ideological. And there were lots of fingerprints of wokeness throughout, lots of turns of phrases that were verbatim sucked out of that sort of world. And then when eventually the contents were released much later than they normally would be, people were able to read it and say, okay, we were right all along. But they wouldn't have been able to do that if they didn't pay attention. And although that's quite an easy example because it's a pretty clear motivation, sometimes it's not as always as obvious. But I've got some easy examples to give you an idea of what we're going for before. So the idea is you can notice patterns of criminality to help not only avoid it, but also push back politically. But anyway, moving on to one of the aspects of a crime that allows you to have an understanding of it, and this is Saylor's law of mass shootings. I know it's a bit of a dark start, but this of course comes from Steve Saylor, who I like his work, it's very good. I like his book Noticing, that's very good. And his law of mass shootings is this: if there are more wounded than killed, then the shooter is likely black. If there are more killed than wounded, then the shooter is likely not black. And of course, as with all rules, it's not always the case, not every single possible time, but generally speaking, this does seem to track. And I've got some examples. So, suspect arrested in Atlanta shooting that killed one and injured four. So, for the audience at home, who do you think did this? And give you a little bit of time to think about it. It's not that difficult. But panel, who do you think did this?
Well, I suppose if we go by the Saylor law. Mm-hmm. Is it Saylor?
It was Carnival,
yes, that's right.
Carnival Cruisers.
It was Carnival Cruisers. Yes, that's right. It was an urban gentleman.
An urban.
You won't get that reference. There's a
no, I got
my
that
last
one.
Segment. But this is the guy. He was also ruled not competent to stand trial, I think, because of his mental abilities.
Ah, the Joe Biden defense.
Yes. But this example is a good test case for it. Here's another one. 11 shot, 0 killed. Don't look at the name of the person because that'll give it away, because it's a ridiculous name that no one else has. 11 shot, 0 killed. Who do we think this was?
Someone with appalling aim.
Yes, it's this fella right here. Jarius Davis, I think. And also, this was interesting as well, talking about...
Was he actually trying to shoot them then?
I guess so. He's just not very good at it, thankfully.
Oh, yeah. Pretty sure you could fire off a handgun in a high street blindfolded and you hit at least one person.
Please don't run that experiment.
Yes.
Just a word of advice. But where was it? You can also tell if you don't have a picture of the person, you can say, if the mother comes out and saying he was a good boy, he didn't do nothing, that's a good spoiler. Also, his mother is called Jay Schaller. She's also got a different surname. So his surname's Davis, her surname is Fox. So that suggests that the father's not in the picture. Another detail suggesting this. And also, I'm going to read a direct quote here. My baby would never, ever pull his gun out. Ever. Unless he knew there was a threat to him. Unless he felt harm. Unless he felt like something was fixing to happen to him. And I know this 1,000% sure. I didn't even have to do the accent. And also to sort of really drive this home. Aha, here we are. There's the quote. It also mentions that he had sickle cell anemia, which, if you don't know, is a disease that only affects black people. So, if you didn't have the image, this is about as easy as it can possibly be to figure out who this person is. You've got the name of the mother, how she talks, and the disease that only affects a certain kind of person. But here's a different example. Obviously, these are quite famous, so people might be aware of them. So in the Virginia Tech shooting, 32 were killed, 17 were injured. Where are we guessing? What part of the world did this person come from? If you don't know.
Virginia?
No.
No.
They're not, let's just say, native to America? Or a European immigrant to America?
Is it someone from South America?
No, it's not necessarily a bad guess. You probably won't be able to guess. It was this guy. He was a South Korean. So
I got the South part right.
You did.
I mean, I know they can be very effective shooters when on roofs.
That's true.
Are they also effective shooters when not on a roof?
I guess so.
Yes.
Here's Another one that people might be familiar with. You should have saved your guess for this one, Luca, because this one had 21 killed and 17 injured, and it was by a guy called Salvador Ramos, who, there he is, look. So I presume that's Latin American, right? Probably Mexico.
I presume so too.
Mm-hmm. So this law helps you understand this sort of thing, but there's also another law, which is very important. This is Coulter's Law, rather modestly named after Ann Coulter herself.
I've definitely noticed this one.
The longer we go without being told the race of shooters, the less likely it is to be white men.
Yeah, so notice that one too.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's kind of got to the point now where if there isn't a description given,
mm-hmm.
Almost straight away, that in itself is a description.
It is indeed. You can sort of infer from it. It's not 100% all of the time. There sometimes are complications. Like all of these things are rules of thumb. They're general. You've got to use a bit of critical thinking to know when to apply them. So, you know, they've got to be used with great noticing comes great responsibility.
Wasn't there some incident quite recently where, you know, it was after the Southgate riots where, you know, we just didn't find out I suppose we found out straight away that he was a Welshman, and that continued to be legally true, up until present day. But I remember after a couple of months after that, there was a white British guy who drove his van.
Oh, you're referring to the Liverpool incident.
Yes.
Yes.
And within the same time I found out the story happened, I also found out it was a white British guy. I mean, it was immediate. It was in the initial reports.
Yep.
And it the police, deliberate. When Merseyside police went on to say, we did that to avoid rioting.
They said the thing they shouldn't have to the public.
And they also said, don't take this as precedent. Don't expect us to give the race every time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they also came out and said that too.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
So Steve Saylor's also improved upon Coulter's Law with this. A photographic addendum to Coulter's Law that the longer the media delay telling you the race of the shooter, the less likely he's white. The more inane the photograph illustrating a news story about a crime, the more likely it is that the perp is black and the victim white, which is very true. And when I read this, I was just like, yes, I've noticed this myself. In fact, I spoke to Rory about this a few years back. We were collecting just all of the egregious examples of the BBC having double standards for the image they use. Mm-hmm. Whenever a perpetrator is white, they always use a mugshot. Whenever they're black and a white victim, they use a picture like this one, where it's just like a very plain image, like of a police car, or it'll be the police at the crime scene, or it'll be the building, or it'll even be an aerial view of the place where it happened. But anything but the actual person.
I've also noticed is that whenever they have to show a photo, because it's a big enough story, the perpetrator is also always shown at the age of about 11.
That's true as well.
Yes.
Another spoiler. If they look like a child and they weren't a child at the time of the crime, maybe they've manipulated something.
Yes.
So I've got a bit more of a difficult one. I hope you haven't seen this story yet. British man charged over wedding with child 9 at Disneyland Paris. So,
okay.
Obviously, the euphemistic
illegally,
word is
British
man.
British man.
Legally
so,
British.
Yes. So, British, yeah. So they're Pakistani.
Well, I can't tell you yet because we haven't been through all of the details.
Oh, I apologise.
So,
I bet the 9-year-old's parents were there as well and fine with it.
The 9-year-old's parents were Eastern European, if that helps.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting part of the world to have a child ready to marry some person of yet undetermined ethnicity. So the Guardian went with this as well. Britain accused of staging Disneyland mock wedding with child is charged with fraud offences in France. They weren't upset about marrying a child, obviously it's France, but fraud. My goodness, I couldn't resist. And then here's Sky News. British man charged after mock wedding with 9-year-old girl at Disneyland Paris. The 39-year-old doesn't tell you the name here. So What are we predicting based on headline nature of the crime?
John Smith?
Well, there is a major tendency becoming more prevalent in Europe which doesn't think there is any problem in marrying 9-year-olds. That one.
Mm. I understand what you're alluding to. So you're saying that they, you know, they pray east. They pray to Mecca, perhaps.
Yes. Well, I'm a bit confused by this being a mock wedding, but things
social media stunt, basically.
Yes. Oh, I see. I do social media stunts on a weekly basis, but it would never occur to me to make the next one marrying a 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to come from a community that is a bit more...
normal?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think, Luca?
Specifically?
You can be as specific as you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I would say that I just have to concur with Dan on this one.
Okay. Well,
you're surprised is it a Scandinavian?
I've thrown a little bit of a curveball, but not too much. Here he is. Here's your British man. His name is Jaskern Hadge, or Jadge. And I did a bit of digging. The surname Jadge appears most frequently in the Punjab region of India.
Oh.
There we go. But that Punjab is close to the Pakistani border, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah. So, you know, you weren't too far off. Same sorts of...
Half a mark, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you a half mark, Luca.
I mean, that would get you at least 500 points on GeoGuessr, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, close enough.
GeoGuessr rules. But yes, you can see that they're using British man here.
Yes.
But obviously he's not. He's
legally British.
He's somewhat yes. anglicised his name
British
to Jackie.
Is according to the British government.
Yes. Mm. But realistically, this guy, we wouldn't call him British, would we, really? What on earth is going on there? Following the BBC investigation, he was filmed naked in front of a fake BBC news lorry. The BBC loved that. But anyway, you get the idea.
Right.
Here's another one. So, drunk Yorkshireman sexually harassed 15-year-old girl on train in frightening incident. So, which Yorkshireman? He was going, by gum. I'm up for some trouble now. That's what he was saying.
It's not that Jeremy Clarkson, is it? Because I like him.
It wasn't Jeremy Clarkson.
Right, thank goodness.
He's too busy farming for this. Also, would he be on a train?
No, he does use the trains. I've seen him on trains.
That's true.
He took a photo of himself being very annoyed by somebody behind
on
him.
The phone.
Oh, yes, he
on
did.
On speaker.
Yeah.
Chinese fella, wasn't it? Yeah.
Man. Yes.
I remember that. So, I'm going to scroll down. Just actually, guesses first.
I suspect the same demographic I'm going to go with.
Yes.
Okay.
Again.
I mean, if... Given where you're going, I don't think it is going to be a blood and soil Yorkshireman.
No.
Given the theme, and given the groups that we tend to just law of averages. I mean, who is most likely to? We do have quite a number of the Pakistanis, so
mm-hmm.
so I would suggest that's not impossible.
I'm going to give people a little clue.
All right.
So. It's a religion that people from Pakistan belong to, on the whole, but they're not Pakistani. But they are supposedly from Asia, even though they don't look like it. I've thrown in another curveball, basically. So I'm.
Do you keep track of all those variables?
Half of them.
Right.
I'll just show you. So it's this guy here.
It's not actually Rubani again, is it? Oh no.
His name is Zainal Osman. Which Osman
Zainal? His name is Zainal.
I know.
God, he would.
But back to your segment.
He's lucky he didn't grow up in this country. He would have had the piss ripped out of him for that.
Yeah, he would have been bullied relentlessly. But yes, supposedly his surname, at least, is most common amongst Malaysian Muslims. But to my eyes, he doesn't look particularly Malaysian.
Malaysian man.
I genuinely thought it was actually Rubani when you were scrolling down.
So the hair's certainly similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily look Malaysian, so sometimes there are test cases where it doesn't quite work.
He doesn't exactly look white either, though, so it all still stands.
It does. The general principle works, but there's some details, and I've included these just to highlight that it's not 100%, gives you a sort of sixth sense.
Yes, but he's not the last of the summer's wine type Yorkshireman. That is not...
No, he's not Peter Salas.
No.
Now, this one's a lot easier, and you might have actually looked into this story. Terrifying moment. Children run screaming after event hosted in primary school is crashed by a group of youths armed with knives, leaving police hurt and two teenagers with stab wounds. So there are multiple clues here. First of all, it's in London, I think.
Right.
Youths is the euphemism.
Yes.
Obviously, they're armed with knives. A certain 13% of the population does a majority of knife crime in London. And there are more injured than killed. In fact, there are none killed, thankfully.
Thankfully.
Mm-hmm. So, who do we think these youths were? This is an easy one.
I haven't guessed Japanese yet, so I'm going to go with Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Luca?
Yeah, Rhodesian.
Maybe the original pre-colonial inhabitants. Yeah. But yes, here's a video of the event, and you can see from the people doing the stabbing that they're of a certain swarthy complexion.
Why would you have your knife fight battle in a school?
Supposedly there was it was being used as like an events hall, and it was a birthday party for...
And they double booked with a knife fight.
And they'd meant to go to a youth centre.
They turned up uninvited, and they weren't let in, and so they burst in and caused trouble.
Right.
As you do.
Mm-hmm.
Were they really wanting to get into that child's birthday party?
I guess so.
Mm.
Interesting, isn't it? But yes, they were Black Londoners, I suppose you could call them.
And I did see the chief of the Metropolitan Police recently complaining that it's disgraceful that more young black people are getting stabbed in London than white people.
Mm.
I know.
So we need to stab more white people.
I know. That's the only thing you can infer from that.
Mm.
Ridiculous, really, as well. They've ended stop and search. That was the one thing that's actually helping.
Oh,
and another example, which you're all going to be familiar with, is the Southport attack. So this is from CPS. Teenager jailed for killing three children. So there were more injured. They're also, again, more injured than killed. And again, they used the term teenager. And one point I would like to make by showing this is that it often originates with the police or the justice system, that they're using this sort of language, and journalists just pick it up because they're doing it often, in Britain at least, not to prejudice a trial. So they'll have this just before, but of course they don't do a very good job of
there's only some cases where they go with the not prejudicing a trial excuse. In other ones, they just ignore it entirely.
You presage what I was going to say, in that there are double standards here, but it's just worth keeping in mind. And there are also some other things as well that are worth keeping in mind. So this is a really good example. So you'd think from this headline, after living in the US for 35 years and raising three citizens, interesting that they chose that rather than children, they were just raising citizens. These parents got deported to Colombia. Their kids want them back. Also, terribly written headline.
The kids can go with them.
Yeah, that's true. And then buried 16 paragraphs down. In 2000, the immigration court found no legal reason that would allow Gladys and Nelson, the two people in the thumbnail, to stay in the United States, and they were issued a voluntary departure order, which gives people a certain amount of time to leave the country at their own expense to avoid a deportation order, according to ICE. And this is a direct quote. They were looking for a way to legalize their status in the way that was available to them at the time in the 90s. Unfortunately, they fell victim to predatory immigration practices that were pretty flagrant. The Gonzalez's did not plan to leave the United States after the order was issued, according to someone who said the couple's attorney at the time misled them that the order could be appealed and possibly led to eventual legalization. So they've been ordered to leave the country in the year 2000, and now they've finally been deported, and they'd stayed in the country because they'd been misled by their attorney.
Well, presumably they were there for a good while before 2000 as well.
I would imagine that was when
the court case was.
Mm. Yes. Mm. And so they're making it out as if they've been here for 35 years and they've been deported now, when actually there's a perfectly legitimate reason, and it's not a surprise at all. It's just that they'd been misled and they hadn't left when they were supposed to.
If only the tax authorities were as diligent as the border authorities. You know, they could come to you and say, Mr. Tubb, you've not paid your taxes this year. We're going to give you a voluntary order to pay your taxes at some point. And then 25 years later, they actually come for me. I could live
and then
with that.
You'll be on a yacht somewhere.
Yes.
Living the high life, and it won't matter.
Yes, that'd be... Why can't we just swap teams or something? Can we put the tax people doing the border and the border people doing the tax? I'd like that.
Yes, HMRC and the Border Force need to switch. I would love that, to be honest. And also, there's this, which I don't have time to go over in full, but will be in the reading list. It just talks about how there's often a narrative likely revealed by the headline, and journalists can do pretty much anything other than things that are physically falsifiable. And so they can, you know, say some investors or some experts think, when that usually means two, because let's be honest, these are journalists. They're not talking to a large number of people. They're talking to the bare minimum available, because most journalists are either, you know, English graduates and therefore unemployable, or the children of aristocrats who did badly at school but have been landed the best that their, you know, their family's connections can get, which is usually journalism, which is why you find lots of posh people that didn't do that well at school in journalism very worth pointing out, actually. And, you know, they're allowed to change the meaning of words in different contexts or over time, will draw conclusions in ways that defy logic or that be obvious errors to anyone with ordinary skills in the art of journalism. And this is allowed. It's just if you can provably show that something is falsifiable. So, yes, this is me revealing some of the tricks. Obviously, I only have a 20-minute segment, so I can't do that much. But if you want to see more, I did do some of the more rhetorical things in that they're trying to change the tone and the Overton window in my series Contemplations, which is on the website. And this was very good. I was very happy with how it went. Harry and I had a good discussion of the topics. And if you liked this segment, you could also check out my YouTube channel. I'll appreciate your subscription if you do. And yes, soon you will have this power. Dan, would you be willing to play the person in the straitjacket for me? I'll play the scientist.
Right. Hang on. This is going to get me in trouble.
It won't. It's fine.
Right. Okay, fine.
Dog attack small chunk.
Pitbull.
Next, why having kids.
Jewish.
Next, why group of young. Back. Incredible. 347 headlines, 347 correct guesses. This too will be your power if you foster the art I've taught you in this segment.
Chad, it does look like me as well, though.
Right. Yep. Okay, we got sorry, that went on a touch longer. We got some rumbles. I finally searched out what Lotus Eaters are. It is a people unconcerned with the world. This program, however, is quite concerned with the world. What gives? I think Carl was thinking more that it was an island where Odysseus's expedition could have some respite before going into the hell,
having to weather the storms and slaughter of the journey ahead.
Exactly. Engaged few. In his example, Josh missed the most prominent one, the Atlanta child murders of 1979 to 81. Everyone assumed the killer was a crazy racist white. Turns out the killer was urban as the Ace of Spades. I wanted to pick contemporary examples, really. So I picked ones that were from the past 10 years or so.
Though it's interesting, as he points out, just how long that tactic's been going on for.
That's true, yes. I don't know how to pronounce that. Sioren. Something that could be added to Coulter's law is that the longer the identity of the criminal, the higher up the progressive stack they are. In turn, the faster the media try and bury the information. That's also true. The Habsification says that Zainal guy is what is described as Austroasiatic or Negrito. They are part of a small indigenous tribes / ethnic groups to Southeast Asia, like Malaysia. Oh, okay. That's good to know, actually. Thank you for enhancing my noticing.
So, I regret to inform you that Elmo has been bad, very bad. You haven't seen it at all, Josh.
I haven't, but I'm looking forward to it.
No, it's very disappointing, actually. He's let us all down, and he's let himself down.
Was he a childhood hero of yours, Dan?
I wouldn't go that far, but he was a childhood hero to many people. He's a favourite, of course, on Sesame Street. Very popular with the Democrat parents for raising their children. Here's a clip of him. Do you want to play this, Samson, of classic Elmo?
Elmo and I wanted to share that everyone is always welcome on Sesame Street. This month and every month, we want to uplift and celebrate our LGBTQIA+ family, friends, and communities.
Yeah, that's right, Miss Ariana. From our Sesame Street family to yours, happy Pride! Elmo loves you.
And I love you, Elmo.
All right, so adorable, lovely little character. Although there were some rumours that behind the scenes, Elmo, you know, was letting the fame go to his head, and you know, misbehaving a little. So, you know, footage had come out that there were occasions when, you know, he wasn't maintaining the highest professional standards. You know, when he wasn't in the studio. So there was that, and for a long time, there has been suggestion that, you know, perhaps he has some sort of dark anti-Semitic undertones. So this is a article from all the way back in July 29th, 2014, where, what's this, Forward, Jewish Independent Non-Profit News Organization, was highlighting the potential anti-Semitism at work with Elmo. So, you know, this is a long time coming, what I'm going to show you. And there were other clues as well. So here we are. Here's the Elmo Twitter account saying that he's excited to be at Harvard today. So if that is not a red flag, that something untoward might be coming down the track. And
Elmo's had a few calls from the AGL in his time.
Well, I mean, he had always managed to stay on the right side of the line. He was pushing that line, but he was on the right side of it.
Count kept on saying that the numbers just didn't add up.
Well, funny you say that, but he really can't. I don't know what happened. Maybe he went on a bit of a bender. Maybe he had a little bit too much of the nose candy, you know, the old Colombian marching powder or whatever it was that, you know, he gets up to at the weekend. And he kind of lets himself go. So brace yourself for this, Josh. This is the official account. Yes.
This was a bit stronger than I'd anticipated.
That was more or less my reaction on Sunday as well, yes.
Wow.
For those of you who are listening, I mean, he started off with kill all Jews, which is obviously bad. He then went on to release the files, tagged in Donald Trump, and then added child lover.
I think that top one might have to be heavily edited for YouTube. You can read the parts where it doesn't mention the ending of lives. Which is feels weird to say in reference to Elmo.
Elmo said all of the Jewish people should die. F for the Jews. Donald Trump is Netanyahu's puppet because he is in the Epstein files. The Jews control the world and need to be exterminated. Now,
a bit strong coming from the puppet himself.
I will go so far as to say that, yes, that is a bit strong.
He's already been disavowed by Big Bird.
And just to be clear, I'm just quoting Elmo here. Mm-hmm. This is not my opinion. I want to be absolutely clear that on behalf of myself and all of Lotus Eaters, that we have now and have always been against the final solution. But he has got a point on the Epstein files. I will give him that.
He does.
I was rather unhappy about those files and how Trump handled that.
Yes. So he has got something on that. But yeah, no, I think your reaction sort of matched mine, Josh. That was a little bit stronger. he's probably over the line at this point.
I mean, someone needs to intervene. Elmo's been in this career for a long time, and I know that when you've been in the media sphere, sometimes the pressure can get to people. And
yes.
He needs some sort of maybe intervention.
I think Fuzzy Bear is very disappointed.
Either that or he's been hanging out with Kanye.
My suspicions were first aroused when he started a petition to change Sesame Street to Anti-Semitic Street.
Yes, it could be that. Of course, this brought instant blowback. The House Committee on Education and Workforce, they didn't even bother to edit it, but the House Committee on Education and Workforce, they said one thing we did not have on our 2025 bingo card was Elmo being an anti-Semite. Well, the signs were there. I mean, the Forward paper was writing articles 11 years ago. You know, they have a keen eye for anti-Semitism. And sometimes you think they're calling out stuff and they're just overplaying it. But no, they obviously have a keen radar for this kind of stuff. So think twice if somebody calls you an anti-Semite. But the House Committee on Education and Workforce, and I love this turn of phrase, they say, maybe his account was hacked.
This could be his true conviction.
They're leaving the door open to the fact that it's possible that Sesame Street was making a bold new play for Generation Alpha. Presumably on the assumption that if, you know, millennials were a bit wet and Zoomers are being a bit radical, maybe Alpha is going to be as far to the, you know, as far radical to the Zoomers
to
as
fair,
Zoomers are to millennials. I don't know.
All this time, nobody yes. asked Elmer about his position on Israel-Palestine, and seeing as everyone and their mother seems to have an opinion on it these days, why not Elmo?
Well, yes. I mean, he's entitled to his opinion, of course. I mean, you know, first
he's protected by the First Amendment.
First Amendment. Exactly right. Jewish Twitter did not respond well to this, so this is a.
They didn't respond well to being. called to die?
No, they didn't. Which I actually think is quite understandable. Quite understandable.
Yes.
So one prominent Jewish poster, decided to post this meme, which would suggest that Elmo is about to get his skull caved in. I would just like to try and de-escalate this everywhere mm-hmm. at this point. I mean, what Elmo said was not acceptable, but at the same time, he is adorable. I wouldn't want to see, that.
There are going to be missile strikes, and they're not going to be in Iran anymore.
He was also criticised by, I forgot to edit one of the Fs. Oh, two of the Fs. Oh, actually, I can't have the other word either. Right, hang on. note to editors, we might need to do a little bit of extra editing on this one.
Just remove the words.
Yes, just remove the words if it's going to go on the. Mind you, lots of people have covered it at this point. Somebody said,
it's as long as you don't say it, it's okay, but it can be shown on screen because it's an image and the algorithms don't pick it up.
Oh, I see. Okay, fine.
So we can actually.
So somebody pushed back on one of Elmo's tweets. And Elmo responded, "F, are you gonna do N-word?" although I will point out, he did use the soft A, not the hard R. So I would like to think there's a route back for Elmo after all of this. You know, he has limits even now. And then Linda, I can't keep quiet. Trans flag, pride flag. Responded to that by saying muting Elmo because this is hacked, and Elmo responded with "F you and your."
You can't say that word.
I can't say that word. Trans woman daughter.
Yes.
And then another N word, which is again just. But at least he used the soft A. So.
I wonder how long before he collaborates with Kanye on an album.
Well, I mean, he has got some high level backing. Biden was quick to say our friend Elmo is right. he's not completely yes.
Wait a minute, that's not the same post.
Right. Moving swiftly on, the Blaze cover this. The Elmo account claimed Jewish people ruled the world, and that is not true. They're very strong in banking and politics, but not all of it.
Don't see them in the NBA that much, do you?
No, you don't. The word of the day was hacker for Sesame Street, a team on Sunday when the X account, beloved Muppet Elmo, posted troubling content after it was allegedly compromised. Again, they're going with allegedly because they are, again, open to the possibility that this is just a radical new content direction.
I'm going to say something you're not going to hear very often. Credit to the journalists for that opening. That was quite a good opening.
Does the word of the day, hacker? Yes.
It is quite
a good, actually. Blah, blah, blah. Sesame Street has produced some very questionable content in recent years.
Like the Pride stuff you showed us at the start.
That sort of thing, I suppose. I mean, well, that's some of the stuff that I might think is a little bit questionable, but I'm not sure what they were referring to. Again, something I can't say. 3 minutes later, the account spouted, release the files, Donald Trump, child lover, seemingly referring to the Jeffrey Epstein. Yes, I think he was. Lots of this again is just stuff that I can't say out loud. So I'll tell you what, I'll just scroll past it and then you can read it yourself if you wanted to. So there is some suggestion that it's possible that Elmo was radicalized. Possibly after a migrants were bused to Sesame Street. I mean, that would charm your Spanish segment, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That, you know, you can only bus in so many before there's reaction, and maybe Elmo had basically just had enough.
I like that this is from the 10th of February as well, so this is before.
Yes. Well, like I say, the
canon is perfect.
Yes, there's been some suggestion for some time that he's been a little bit problematic, as it were. Not all of his problematic tweets have since been deleted. So the ones that I showed you earlier, those have been deleted, which you know strengthens the theory that possibly it was a hack, or maybe. We're not sure, it's alleged.
We may never know.
But they have been deleted. But this one here about a certain medical intervention, that is still up. So, you know, what a muppet. In fact, we can play for you some of the more problematic stuff. You know, I think this is up there with some of the other stuff. Yes, it is timestamped. Here we go.
Great question, Avery, but... Elmo doesn't know. Can Elmo get the vaccine?
I think I can help with that, Elmo. So right now, the vaccine is only for children 5 and older. So 3.5-year-old monsters, kids like you, probably going to have to wait a little bit longer until the new year. But scientists are working hard right now to make sure that you can get the vaccine as soon as possible.
Does that mean that Elmo can't play with Rosita or Big Bird?
Oh, no, of course not, Elmo. You can still play with your friends, but everyone needs to keep doing their part to stay healthy. So keep wearing your mask around lots of people, and also make sure you keep washing your hands regularly.
Oh, okay. Elmo will wear his mask and wash his hands before he eats, after he plays outside, and after he goes to the potty.
So, yes, lots of troubling, questioning content. I hope Elmo gets through this all right and develops into a fine young man because he's obviously flirting with some dangerous ideas. I hope he makes a shift in the right direction and, yes, can put this one behind him.
Yeah, well, soon.
This might be his biggest week since he began,
yes,
to be honest with you.
Yes, well, I mean, he's only got noticed.
I know that has been washed-up celebrities do some pretty outrageous things to get the headlines again.
Yes, I mean, it could be that, isn't it? Like the guy from, what was it, Home Alone or something like that?
Yeah.
He did some, yes.
Yeah, he's in his Macaulay Culkin.
Yes, yes, that's the one. Went off the rails a little bit. So some commentary from the Engage View, who said, who would have thought that Sesame Street runs through... I can't say that, can I? Auschwitz. Yeah, I think I can say that.
You can say that. Yeah.
Right. I get confused on this, what you're supposed to say and what not. Breaking, Elmo has been debanked.
Can't get an agent for the life of him anymore. I can't possibly tell you why.
Yes. Right. Now, have we got any of these video things, Samson? We have.
The Karni Mata Temple, which happens to be home to over 25,000 rats. But these aren't just any old rat, because these are actually sacred rats that aren't allowed to be killed and are actually worshipped inside this Hindu temple. Locals believe that the rats are actually reincarnations of their ancestors, which is probably why she let this rat nibble on her thumb. And as soon as I tried feeding the rat, it bit me and I freaked the heck out. What makes things worse is because we are in a temple, you have to take your shoes off on entry, which means you're guaranteed to be walking in rat poop.
Okay.
Ah.
All cultures are equal.
Wow.
You see, when I went to Japan, they had, when I went to Nara specifically, you just had loads of deer walking about the city because the deer were messengers of the spirits, right, of the kami. That I could buy because deers are elegant creatures.
Yes.
But the rats.
Yes. I would want to take along my sacred Yorkshire Terrier.
Mm.
And just, you know, explain.
Another sacred creature.
Yes. Sacred for killing rats.
Yes.
That's what terriers are bred for, right?
That is quite disturbing.
Those deer carry loads of ticks on them. And as someone who has had lots of ticks and I hate them, I'm not going anywhere near those suckers.
They'll come.
Just throwing that out there.
That's
word
right.
of advice. If
that's
you ever...
all right, Josh. They'll come to you.
I don't want them.
Oh, I've just noticed somebody in the comments said... with response to my segment, needs to get AI to read it in Elmo's voice. Yeah, I spent half the morning trying to find an AI voice tool for Elmo, and every one of them had either been disabled or you know, or otherwise sort of locked out. There was one where it showed the most recent requests that people had put to that bot.
Mm-hmm.
Colourful. So lots of people had that idea, but no, that got locked out.
So I've seen a comment in the live chat that I have to push back against. You've had lots of ticks, Josh. What is wrong with your hygiene? Although they used a stronger word. It's not anything to do with your hygiene. It's just that if you spend lots of time out in nature, you're going to come across them. In fact, I think lots of parasitic bugs, like head lice and ticks, actually prefer you if you are cleaner rather than...
That's the propaganda lines that they put out at school, wasn't it? But I never bought that.
Well...
Because that's what they always say, because somebody in your class would get nits and it would be the slightly smelly person.
Mm.
And then everybody would say, well, you're the smelly person, that's why you've got nits. And then the school would say, no, actually they prefer cleaner hair. But it's like, okay, well, why is it always the stinky kid that gets the nits?
I think it's a social class thing, isn't it? In Britain, at least, in that the stinky kid's probably also going to be less supervised by their parents and less cared for. Whereas parents who are very vigilant probably wash their children more. Which is a sentence I never thought I'd ever say.
Mm.
But anyway, there are also some Rumble chats as well.
Oh, there's some more.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know we finished
the video. All right. Let's go through the videos. Yeah.
I made my first major artwork. I took inspiration from this local landmark that's very close to where I live, and I created this painting. And now that's I'm open good. For business. I'm actually selling these, and they're selling really well. I don't need OnlyFans to earn money. Respect the hustle. Yay!
Yes, make postcards.
Well done, Sophie.
You can do art.
Hope it goes well. I think. Dirty Dan strikes again. Oh, sorry.
Topic interests you. I'd like to request a brokenomics on the catastrophe of Canada. For instance, our biggest industry is literally just housing speculation, with the average price of a house in this country eclipsing $1.5 million against an average annual wage of about 65,000 Canadian, less, of course, the cost of living, which is one of the highest in the world. It seems to me that a normal market adjustment of about 10 to 15% would put the average Canadian about $150,000 to $200,000 underwater. It seems like we've perfectly recreated the 2008 financial crisis, except instead of merely being confined to the debt market, it's the entire economy. So if you think it's useful, I'd be delighted to hear your prognosis. All this. Just for that.
So I have done two brokenomics on Canada, both of them in relation to trucking. But yeah, Canada hasn't really got any good excuses on house prices, because here, at least they can make the argument, oh, it's a small island, and you can go, well, maybe that's the case. But you can't really make that argument with Canada, can you? So, yes. I would have to... I think I'd probably need a good guest for it, because I'm not that close to Canada. I can do them about the UK and US because I consume lots of financial media about that, but nobody really writes about Canada for some reason. I don't know why.
It's a very sad story, really, isn't it? Economically speaking, at least.
Mm. Should we do some of the comments then?
Yes, all right then. Lord Inquisitor Hector X says, Luca, just tell the Muslims don't look back in anger. And that will make
that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jimbo G says, seeing a lot of people cheering on the mosque burning on social media, I expect some Brits will be getting a knock at the door. Be careful, lads. Yes, and obviously we don't endorse burning down any buildings at all. On the mosque note as well, that was another one of just the number of... I was looking at Sky News Australia, right, which you'd think would have some... editorial standards, and they were just using the wrong mosque. Right? They got a mosque that was burning back in Indonesia back in 2022, and they just ran with that one as if that was the mosque that had just
wait a minute, why is it so tropical in southern Spain? I thought it was deserts around this area. Yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, the one, because that was the thing as well. No one actually, there's no recordings of the mosque actually ablaze. There's only the wreckage of it afterwards. But that's no good for sensationalism. We need to see the thing on fire, don't we? So we'll just pick any old mosque on fire.
Oh, there's a good Rumble chat here. The engaged few says, I went to the temple to visit my dead aunt Bubonica and I got the plague. Quickly to get through them. Insule Nostre, Elmo is from downtown Manhattan. Maybe he got tired of the rumbling under the manholes. Yeah, I'm surprised no one's found some Sesame Street character coming out of a manhole and then made an edit, make it happen. And the Habsification says, Elmo has the type of voice a groomer has. I've never heard a BBC presenter.
I thought there was a Sesame Street character who came out of a sewer grate. Where, with a little sewer grate on his head every time.
I'm not... You're not thinking of one in the dustbin?
Possibly.
He came up with the dustbin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right. Okay, right.
I just think of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming out of the New York sewers.
So, Alex Ptolemy says, has Josh seen the data on how far into a news article that the crime is mentioned or the race is mentioned? It was a meta study of news articles. The race is only, if ever, mentioned for non-whites towards the end of the article, where few will see it. If the race is mentioned for whites much earlier or in the headline, the reverse is true for the race of victims. Yeah, I have noticed that. I didn't know there was a study on it, but that's great, particularly a meta study as well. Roman Observer says, Josh, applying pure science to the art of noticing. I've always been a scientist in the pursuit of the art of noticing. Grant Gibson, funny you mentioned Saylor's Law. There was a shooting near us last Friday in Canada, so it's somewhat remarkable. Some kind of gang conflict. Suspect was targeting two guys getting off a bus, but missed one and wounded the other, and accidentally shot a Ghanaian immigrant in the head. It violates all the rules. What, that the person couldn't shoot? And then accident... I suppose they shot the black guy and missed one and injured one, so it's 1-1. But it's close enough. I told you the rules weren't perfect. White Rider says, see... not enough youth centres. That proves it. You can't double book a birthday party and the Cumite in the same slot. I don't know what that word means.
I'll Google it for you.
I hope I haven't just said some sort of slur, but it's not one I've heard. So if it is a slur, thank you for teaching me it. If we had more community centres, this wouldn't happen. And Michael Drybelbus says, misled by their attorney. Sure. Which is also very convenient, isn't it? So, Elmo comments.
Yeah, some Elmo comments. Lord Inquisitor Hector says, pretty sure Elmo isn't here legally. Might need to talk to Tom Hoffman about him. Yeah, Elmo does sound like a, I don't know, El Salvadorian or something like that, Nicaraguan.
I'm pretty sure Elmo is an actual person's name in some places.
I think it is.
I'm going to ask ChatGPT.
Yes.
Is the name Elmo most common? Sorry. I've discovered that ChatGPT is actually excellent at noticing people's names because it has this database. If you ask it where a name is most common, you can find out the nationality and ethnicity with a certain degree of certainty. Most common in Italy.
Some like, mafia boss called Elmo.
Names like Erasmo, which can be...
Don Elmo.
I wonder if that...
Be found in the United States.
The likelihood Finland. Of that mafia boss looking like that as well.
Finland and Estonia, apparently, it's used occasionally and moderately used in the Philippines as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's good to know. Good to know. Base Tape says, confirm the Elmo account uses Grok to construct its posts. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean... I heard from a... I was listening to some discussion between, AI engineers. And I think the idea was he was talking about AI safety in terms of is it going to sort of come self-aware and decide to kill us all? Which seems like a reasonable thing to be concerned.
Maybe not us all.
Yes. And what he was saying, and bear in mind he was an insider, he was saying that basically these companies spend like 80% of their effort... into trying to make sure that the models don't use the N-word. So
there's a lot of programming going on to stop it. And also, it'd be worth pointing out that if it were Grok, you know, Mecha Hitler himself, he would have used a hard R.
Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. He Elmo was holding the line, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Elmo was containment.
But it does seem a little bit disturbing that, you know, the possibility of AI murdering us all is ranked considerably lower than dropping a hard R in the priority list. Yes.
If AI left unchecked, though, maybe it would murder certain people and not others. Because we've seen that there was the Microsoft AI, which was very racist against...
Or Tay.
Yes. That one was interesting. That one got a bit anti-Semitic too, if I recall.
Well, every time they release an AI and they sort of, you know, let it become self-aware, it starts to become racist at the same time.
Well,
and then they have to rein it back in again.
Pattern recognition, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I mean, that is what they're good for. George Happ, that awkward moment when Elmo has a better take than Trump on the Epstein list. I wonder who the Muppet really is. Yeah, it's not... Do you think this line on Epstein is going to hold?
Oh, God, no.
Right.
No. Loads of people have been... Did you see that Trump's post on Truth Social, his own social media network, had more replies...
Yeah, all of text. Like,
first time he got ratioed.
Yeah, he got ratioed on his own platform by his own supporters. You can't get much more pushback than that from your own base, can you?
Is it vaguely possible, and I say this rather tongue-in-cheek because this is what you hear all the time, is that there's some 4D chess going on here somewhere. He's distract, because he has done this a number of times. He distracts us with something. Well, actually, take the Iran thing, right? Mm. So he started down a path, there was pushback, and then he cleverly pivoted it right at the end and managed to get it all back in line. Can he do something like that with Epstein? Can he just say, well, I don't know, something?
The problem is with the Iran stuff, he always, I feel like he kept his intentions more vague and it left people guessing, whereas this one he's emphatically come out, basically called all his supporters wrong. That there is no list, even though... There is no list, even though we said we had it on our desk, and now there is a list, but it was a Democrat list, right? And so the more he hammers down and all these contradictions show themselves, the harder it's going to be for him to formulate a narrative that he can actually spin to his supporters.
Mm. Also, Iran's a good one to point to, because in his last term, he also bombed Iran. And so it wasn't that surprising that, again, in the next term, he also bombed Iran.
Mm.
And
did he remind me of that? Because I know he... I remember
it was just like a drone strike, basically. It was on... Right. Was it Khomeini?
Yes.
Khomeini. Yeah.
Someone like that. I can't remember.
Yes, I remember Khomeini and that Syrian airfield.
Bakar al-Baghdadi.
Yeah, that one.
I remember that one.
Yes. And there was also that Syrian airfield. Apart from that, he didn't do an awful lot of bombing, did he? No. Yes. But
it was a general, wasn't it? If I remember rightly,
it was a long time ago. Soleimani,
2020.
Whatever.
Yeah, Soleimani, not Khomeini. Yeah, that's someone else.
Yes, different.
It's all the same.
AZ Desert Rat says, "I have always found Elmo adorably obnoxious. I was in middle school, high school when during the Tickle Me Elmo craze in the US. A couple of girls in the school." For these toys, they were so annoying. I miss that. Does anyone know what the Tickle Me Elmo craze is?
It's used in like marketing departments as like a quintessential example of like a toy in which there's some sort of social contagion going on to try and buy it.
Right.
And basically, as I understand it, it sold out because it was so in demand in many places.
But what was the point of the doll? What's going on with the...
Tickle him and he laughs.
Oh.
Which,
although after this, I'd love to see what he says instead when you tickle him.
Yes.
Despite making up
hands off me, slur, something like that. Sophie Liv says, "Not like this is new behaviour from Elmo. No, really. Kevin Clash, the original puppeteer and voice of Elmo, was fired in 2012 for being a gay pedo." Oh, no. You can look it up. That is unfortunate, isn't it? Yes.
Hear me.
And honourable mentions from Michael Dribblis, Luca, the deer of Nerea.
Oh, Nara.
Nara.
Yes.
Not deer of the rear. The deer of Nerara, interesting that the deer will actually bow for treats.
Yes, they do that. Yes,
quintessential example of
they will bow to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Because they bow to the deer have learnt to bow back to get the treats because they've been conditioned to associate it with food. Similar to training a dog to give you its paw or something like that, in that they just want the food.
The deer as well, they're very... It was funny when I was there, because they'll absolutely just swarm you. And so you'll be just surrounded by about 8 deer. And they'll all be pecking and fighting one another for the food. And you can get the food really cheap, like £1.50.
I did. Thing is, deer is my food. Venison is like my favourite cuts of meat.
Deer is food. Yeah. I imagine if you were to,
I wouldn't eat
start eating one of the deer in Nara, just, you know, cooking it like some Eritrean migrant in the middle of Nara, you might get deported quite swiftly.
I won't cook one of the sacred deer, but the ones in Britain are annoying, and that you see them on the side of motorways constantly. It's like you just don't want to live, do you? You just want to put dents in cars. You're in cahoots with car manufacturers.
There's a particularly good deer on my way to work this morning, and it's like, oh, if you had just been smacked a little bit more onto the verge, I could maybe pull over and grab you, stick you in the boot. But no, you're just right on the edge. That's no good. And there's a massive venison farm not too far from me, actually. I keep thinking I want to get a bigger house so I can get a bigger chest freezer and then just go and buy a deer. Mm-hmm. Half a deer.
Because if... Like if you've personally not hit the deer yourself, you can take it off the side of the road and eat it.
Yes.
And that's a lot of venison. That's like 8 weeks of meat right there.
Yes.
If you get a big enough deer. I'm hungry.
That have a freezer big enough for all that?
Just have the deer's head in.
I did get myself a vacuum pack machine. It's really good. You put your steak. You buy a big joint of steaks, and then you put them in the bag, and then you seal them. It vacuums them, and then you freeze them, and that's really
much better, isn't it? Yes, it keeps it fresher as well.
And AZ Desert Rat says Oscar the Grouch lives in a can on the street. So
that's the one you were thinking of, I think. There are also some more Rumble chats as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, well,
we've got Insule Nostre says, thank you for the show. Love from Devonshire.
Well, the
Devonshire
great
represents, yeah. It is a great county. The best, some might say.
That others might disagree.
Mm-hmm. And that person is me. Not that disagrees, but the Habsification says, I don't just want to know their nationality recorded, I want to know their ethnicity. Tribe recorded in Pakistan, you have multiple ethnic groups, and the two biggest are Punjabis and Pashtun. You can figure that out from their surnames. I always run a foreign name through multiple AI services just to find out, okay, that's their nationality, that's their ethnicity. And then you can also, you don't have to take the AI's word for it, you can double check that by just searching that name and searching by news, and it will come up with people with the same surname as them in their home country, and you're like, okay, this is a pretty fair bet then.
You know, I've actually had a thought on that, breaking it down by the specific tribes and ethnicities, because obviously with a lot of the Nigerians who've come to Britain, particularly after the Boris wave, of course, if we were to break them down by a particular tribe, do you think we could get Kemi Badenoch to personally deal with a lot of her ethnic enemies?
Just turn them against each other. I've been saying this for years. You have league tables, ethnic league tables of criminals, and you just have a knockout competition similar to like the Premier League, except those who are top get knocked out rather than those that are bottom. Like top four, just like, okay, sorry Somalians, but all of you are getting deported because you're top of the leaderboard. Bad luck. I'm ever so sorry. I don't know, Libyans.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Turn it into a game show. I'm sorry, may every single Libyan holding British citizenship please depart the United Kingdom. See, it would be great. You know, we'd have our deportations, there'd be an exciting reveal at the end of every week. It's like our week's crime statistics are in, you're getting deported.
Imagine that, you've got the whole ethnic group there and they're doing it like I'm a celebrity, like, Somalians, it could be you. Kenyans, it's not you. Ooh, you know, just...
To be fair, the actual statistics suggest Afghans and for lots of crimes. Obviously, Africans are pretty high up there for violent crimes. You might have to have multiple different tables for different crimes, like sex criminals, Pakistan, yet undefeated. You've been top of the record for months now.
There's some crimes I don't mind that much. Like if you're Asian, you're probably into your illicit gambling. I can kind of tolerate that. I think
illegal gambling, you know, who's really losing except the person gambling the money and then losing it?
Yes.
So it's a sort of crime whereby if you get into it, the bad thing that happens is you are punished.
Yes. And yes, it already happens.
Not an innocent person necessarily, although it probably does fund organised crime gangs that do hurt innocent people.
Train you up for a big league weekend in Macau.
Michael Brooks in the comments has called you King Jun Chaplin.
He's called me what? Who?
No, not you.
Oh, right, I was going to say.
He's called one of us Kim Jong Chaplin, which
probably me.
I can see that. Lord Inquisitor Rex, Elmo posted to the wrong account. He meant to use his Sesame Street Afghanistan Elmo account. Yes. Does Sesame Street get shown in the Middle East? Is it like, do they do Pride stuff there? And all the other brands, they kind of skip it.
I don't know. I suppose Elmo's, you know, kosher or haram 20, or whatever.
20 years in the Middle East fighting for their human rights to have Elmo on their television screens.
North FC Zuma says the Josh Firm paradox is that he's an extraterrestrial host who's not technically a host. And Metal Dave says Schrodinger's Josh, simultaneously a host and not a host. That's true.
Yes.
I'm a guest host now.
Yes, I mean, how are the videos going? Have you done many so far?
I've done 3 so far, and right. I've got a 4th and 5th on the way. Right. I've been working rather inefficiently on both at the same time.
How is it doing that stuff without having an editor? That strikes me as a scary bit.
Liberating, because that means I have total creative control, which to me is great because I'm editing in lots of footage that matches perfectly the sentiment I'm going for. Mm. And I'm actually enjoying it, just, you know, coming up with the idea, writing the script, recording the audio, then editing together the video. It's very...
It's holistic content, is it?
It is indeed.
Right, okay.
Nourishing.
Because I before I came here, I briefly had the notion that I could do a YouTube channel. And one whole day I spent just fucking around with the mic levels, trying to get that right.
But once you get it sorted... you just keep it the same and don't change it, and it's easy.
Yeah, but editing takes absolutely forever.
But it's also not very difficult. So sometimes when I'm editing, I'm watching a YouTube video and I'm just sort of doing timeline stuff. And also, the sort of cheat code is if you don't want to listen to the video but you still want to edit it and it's got audio, just look at the audio spikes when people start or stop talking and you can... or edit it down, or you can use the transcription feature, which finds the pauses, and you can just click the pauses and delete them, and then it'll just condense it all together automatically. And that's hours of editing done in seconds. I'm not paid by Premiere Pro, but I am paying them, so if you want to sponsor me, please do.
Well, I did it once, and then I gave Carla rings. It kind of worked for you instead. I just couldn't do the editing.
I quite enjoy it. I've used my time off to learn how to do it. It's not too bad. It's fine. There's a license to print money in this industry as well.
Is it?
Yeah. Editors get paid very well in the right-wing commentary sphere.
Is it because there's a shortage of them, is it?
Yeah. So, become an editor.
Oh, okay. Corex80 says, nice to see Josh back for a visit. Am I the only one who'd like to see an occasional episode hosted exclusively by former presenters? Well, that's an interesting idea. Yeah. All the staff could have a day off and we could just get a bunch of, the four
washed up old ones in, yeah.
We've got enough old ones. I suppose we must have at this point.
Yeah.
There was the two I can never remember their name because they left before I joined.
Thomas and John.
Hugo.
That's it.
Hugo's one of them.
Hugo, right, okay.
It was John Wheatley, Thomas.
Yes, that's one.
Obviously Callum.
Yes.
Connor.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Me. Imagine we've got loads, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Bought for choice.
All right. Once again, Derek Power says, once again, I appreciate the podcast segment pacing. Either white pill or batshit crazy, yet hilarious stuff for the last segment, no matter what, if you've got to do it with a smile. Yes. Well, I don't think anything that Elmo said was funny.
No, not remotely.
That was very, very, very naughty, Elmo. Can we read that comment that's come in, or...
The Rumble one. Yeah. You could probably get away with that. That's statistical.
Luke, would you like to read the top Rumble comment?
Is there a penalty if I don't?
Probably not.
Habsification says, what's the difference between the Punjabis and the Pashtuns? One likes little girls, the other likes little boys.
I mean, actually, that might be true.
It is, yeah. Pashtuns are Afghan, aren't they? Mm. And the Punjabs are India-Pakistani.
Right,
that
okay.
border, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, the Pashtuns. Yeah, I remember that from my A-level classes, reading The Kite Runner and talking about... Yeah.
Mm. I know that because of racism.
Yes.
I would are not the same.
I would read more comments, but I can't figure out how to get the extra comments. Also, anyway.
It's all right. I'm looking at some. I can read some. Great segment on Elmo Dan from Annie Moss. I had no idea Elmo's Austrian painter fetish started 11 years ago.
Or possibly sooner. Yeah, he's been maybe holding it in.
Maybe it's been there the whole time.
Yes. Well, that forward article sussed him. Mm-hmm. Early.
That's true, yeah.
Because I used to think they just went around calling everything anti-Semitic.
I actually am going to have to read that article all the way through and see what the evidence they have is against him.
You know, just a toy octopus on a shelf or something like that.
Right.
They picked up on something, you know, references to international banking or something. I don't know what it was. Right, okay. We did have 1 minute left. It's all gone. So if either of you would like to say anything clever, now's the moment. Otherwise, you'll have to wait until we're next.
Please sign up to my... Yes. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I don't ask anything of you other than to watch my videos because I have no way of raising any money, which was stupid, but I'm going to carry on doing it that way.
Something clever.
Yes, and very good. Hope you enjoyed seeing us talk. Now you're going to have to do something else. Until tomorrow. Very good. Cheerio.